Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. And we are in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 12 through 23. But how about starting with a psalm that's in Psalms 1? Again, the Bible is sung.
How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. But the wicked are not so, they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Jesse from Camas, Washington.
We are going through a series of teachings on the stair step of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which leads us right into this Makarios, great joy. Let me read this. This is Matthew chapter 5. This is the Beatitudes, and this will be fulfilled. As a matter of fact, there's a song to that. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through about 11 or 12. And it says, how Makarios, he opened his mouth. This is the first teaching that Jesus gives on this journey that we're taking, that we're walking together with him. And this is where this journey all began. Sometimes it's a good idea to go back because he is the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and is to come. So we're going to take off from the is that we're reading in Acts, and we're going to go back to the was, and this is what he started, this whole journey that we're walking with him about 2,000 years ago. And he says, Makarios, happy, beyond. It is so great, it does not fit on the earth. So happy, Macari. Mac
macro.
Is big. Macro. Micro is, you need a microscope. Macro is the other end of the spectrum. And Makarios means happy beyond measure, a huge amount of happiness. Happy, Makarios, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Makarios are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the comforter, Jesus says, I had to go. He had to die on the cross that he might send the comforter to us. And that happened in Acts 2:38. That wasn't fulfilled till then. And the Holy Spirit didn't belong or come into us until then, that first one. Makarios are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Makarios are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Makarios for righteousness, they're going to be filled with righteousness. And the King of righteousness makes his abode in us. Makarios are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Makarios are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In the book of Acts is when men's hearts were purified on the day of Pentecost. Their hearts were circumcised at that moment, and they were filled. Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. That happened there.
That's the verse that was just going in my head. So they had clean hearts. They didn't clean their own hearts. God created a new heart for them, and it is a clean heart.
Psalms 51.
Yep.
Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Psalms 51. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the Holy Spirit, who inhabits our hearts after the day of Pentecost. He's the King of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, or Makarios are those, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are you when men insult you, or Makarios are you, hugely happy, happy beyond measure, with the Big Mac of happiness, and they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It is joy unspeakable
and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told.
It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told.
Back in Acts 18:12-23.
But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, This man persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, If indeed were some wrong or wicked or villainy, O Jews, reason what I should bear with you. But if the questions are about words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves. I intend not to be judge of these. And he drove them from the judgment seat. All laid hold on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. And Paul, after staying over many days, took leave of the brethren and sailed thence for Syria, and with them Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head at Censori, for he had a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left those there, and he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to abide a longer time, he consented not, but taking leave of them and saying, I will return again unto you, God willing, he set sail from Ephesus. And having landed in Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. And having spent some time there, he departed and went through the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, establishing all of the disciples.
So how many new churches are we going to read about in the epistles later on that are being talked about here? Corinthians.
I didn't count them all, but I saw some of them, yeah.
So this is the laying the groundwork for these different churches. Then later on, you'll see the letters that are written to those
folks. Galatians, Ephesians, Ephesus, Galatia, yeah.
It's like fruit when you're looking at that. The Corinthian, like the letter to the Corinthians, is like that is fruit from what is happening here.
And so talking about the fruit of the Spirit is what you're talking about, isn't it? That it talks about in Galatians chapter 5.
And that, you know, the end result of something.
Right.
Is the there are brethren in these areas, and he's writing letters to the brethren to the church that is in Corinth or to the church that is in Galatia. And here they are.
You plant a tree and it digs down roots. First year, sleeper. Second year, creeper. Third year, leaper. And the third year, you can actually see some fruit start to pop up. Then it becomes marketable tree after about 8 years, where it'll actually start really producing fruit.
Now, these people, Priscilla and Aquila, they ended up going with him. They traveled with him.
I think this is the first mention of them, isn't it?
Yeah, they were mentioned over there in the first. It says they were tent makers, and he stayed with them when he was in Corinth. And apparently they left, and it says there mentions them over here again, Priscilla and Aquila. Now, Syria, it's just interesting. There was a man in this town that was baptized a couple months ago, and he was from Syria. His name is Elias, and he was originally from Syria. He ended up living over in Africa, too, and married a woman from Ethiopia, but he's somebody we were just at a gathering with yesterday.
Oh, he was actually from Syria.
He's from Syria.
Before Africa.
He told me that. He says, yeah, I lived in Sudan, but I am from Syria. That's how he put it to me. He wanted to make sure he was from Syria. And he's lived in Europe. He lived in England for 8 years, but he lived in Sudan.
Oh, that's why his accent.
Yes. He's from Syria, his family's, but then lived in Africa, in Sudan, and then was 8 years in England.
Like no other time in our 50-some years that I've been involved in this, this all started in about 1970, have we been meeting people from other countries.
And they're pretty much along a lot of ways. Bulgaria, we know from people from Bulgaria. We know people from Australia. We know people from
Morocco.
Argentina.
Mexico, yeah.
Canada.
Armenia.
And you know, this is just all, this is only who we know. I mean, it says Jesus.
Well, this is
says,
just the ones that touch us.
Yeah. And Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. So.
Right. And we've met some of those.
Right.
That actually fellowship exactly like we do in southern Arizona and throughout the United States, we've met people that...
And they ended up actually going and spending quite a bit of time in Cuba. So many people from Cuba were involved in things that we just get glimpses of, but the people that we'd have direct contact with, all these other places we've named, and these things from the other parts of the world seem to be multiplying much more over the last 10 years, let's say. That has come.
Again, think of we are a bunch of different kingdoms here on the earth, and God is king over all of all these different kingdoms. He really is the leader. Isn't it funny that Charles and Richard that we met had a letter from Castro, who is our American enemy? Cuba's an enemy of America. And we've almost been to war with them. I know San Juan Hill and so on. With
that's going back to 1890s,
yeah.
And then it moves up to 1960s. So that's been going on a long time.
Even and before Castro, and here Castro
is giving them
carte blanche
to come in there.
He wants them ministering to the people, and they were carrying dental supplies in a suitcase I couldn't lift, and they were in their 80s, these two gentlemen, Richard and Charles. And there are three of them that have this, and they're the three of them are true believers that are brothers, are over there working away freely in Cuba. And Castro, of course, he's deceased, but he was there. And so we hear from our government, they're our enemy, but from God, it's just like, how would you think of Cuba if you knew Daniel was a high government official in Daniel and working with the
people?
And
you have no idea.
Yeah.
We have no idea who's there.
Right.
I'm sure they didn't know who Daniel was everywhere else.
I mean, we want to believe in our country, but there's a God overall who really knows what's going on. And we might have some bad players working on our country that are doing evil to other countries. Good people in other countries, we don't know really what's going on. So going through this for the first time, we started stepping back and realizing, you know, so I'm not so much into politics as I am into the kingdom of God. And I want to be in tune with God and how he's working with people, you know, like Cyrus, Nehemiah, Esther, all these different people. The book of Ruth became in the lineage of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like so Esther, the land of King Ahasuerus, he had 127 provinces all across Europe into Africa.
Medes and the Persians during that time. Here's Esther and Mordecai. Esther and Mordecai.
Yep.
And Mordecai ended up being right up in the top of the government.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he came over. He happened to be over there with Ezra when they were rebuilding the temple.
The temple, yeah.
And some were there when they were, you know, re-inhabiting Israel after the captivity. So it's interesting today, now that we've read this, I felt way more secure about what's going on in the world, that there's trouble at our level here on the dirt, but up above the dirt in the kingdom of the heavens, and there's three heavens. And we know the third heaven, Paul said, was he knew a man who was cut up to third heaven was cut up to paradise, and it's the Greek word paradise. Sounds like a nice place, huh?
Mm-hmm.
God's kingdom.
So you have Joseph, he goes into Egypt, and he ends up being the number one person running it, except the Pharaoh, he was only answered to him. And then you go along and you have Esther, and she ends up here, and Mordecai ends up the top of one of the largest kingdoms on the earth.
Every one of those kingdoms.
And Daniel the same, is that not just—
with Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold.
Yeah.
And the thorax of silver, and God was still in control, the Medes and the Persians, the waste, the bronze.
And we honestly do not know if some people that are God's true children, sons, aren't up in governments across the earth. We don't know that because they've been there before.
And you know, all those names you just mentioned, what happened to them before they got into those positions? They had some trials and tribulations.
Well, they were slaves. They were all kinds of things.
Every one of them.
Every one of them.
Every one.
They were close to death.
Life death.
Yeah.
And they went about to kill all of them at one time. And they were going to kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
One man didn't like them and was going to have to get them all killed on a certain day of the year. And it was stopped. God stopped it and put the person that they were going to kill right at the top of that kingdom.
But what happened with Jesus before he even started his ministry? He's deprived of everything, food and drink. He's off in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, even before he opens his mouth. Oh, and he hasn't even died yet on the cross. That's going to be the culmination. And then he's raised from the dead, and then he's with them for 40 days. But he had to go through the life-death thing, and there he died for us. But he tests all these other people, and I think it was showing what he was going to do, which he was going to actually give it all.
Mm-hmm. We go through like the Psalms, every once in a while, you'll come across something and it's absolutely talking about Jesus.
And you know, I read that and I go, how many times am I going to run it? I go, I know exactly what that's talking about. I've just, I'm not going to go run and tell everybody this is who it's talking about. But then you go like this and you go, it is talking about him over and over and over again.
Yep.
In one of them, Jesus bemoans his relationship, which was very close to Judas Iscariot, how they had sweet fellowship together. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine that. I wonder if that was withheld because he became a man and he left eternity to do this. So I think there were some things he didn't know. That's why he had to communicate with God sometimes all night. And of course, the disciples fell asleep. They didn't have the same structure that Jesus did. He had a different DNA because his dad was the Holy Spirit, but he still took on the form of a man and suffered as a man and died for us, took on all of our sins, who knew no sin. Boy, you start reading that and you really start getting more of an, I can't say I 100% appreciate it yet, but I'm sure different than I was 50 years ago. And reading that, it affects me way more than ever before. And I hope it keeps affecting me more. I hope I understand this more as time goes on.
The thankfulness of things.
Yeah. Slowing down has been good for me, Andy. How about you?
Yeah.
Where are we?
Now, in verse 23, I'll read it, the 23rd verse of chapter 18. Says that he went around and he established all the disciples. Now, this is an interesting point. It's not just telling somebody something and letting them get excited and letting them repent and letting them get baptized and then just running away and just leaving them alone and okay, they'll be all right. He established people.
Does it sound familiar to you with somebody we knew?
Yeah. Yeah, Ray was like that. He established people. He wanted to make sure that he established what he could, and he wanted to make sure that that he could establish some establishers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like to go on.
Did you know he kicked me out of town? He said, go find your own. You don't like a bear.
Well, that's like getting established.
A bear will keep the cubs for 2 years, and then she finally runs them up a tree, and then she leaves for good. The other times she's always going to be there. The second time she does that or that next time she does it, she's not there anymore. And did you know that Ray went home about a year and a half after he did that to me? A little over a year. And he went home. And he used to call. He used to call my wife and say, is Gilbert all right? But he knew I had to do it. Before I would do it, and he would come in behind me, all the different ones that Carolee and I, you know, started talking to people, baptizing them, building, and all. And I loved Ray to come through because I learned from him. We'd get a group going in Klamath Falls or get one going in Crescent City or get one going in Glendale, Oregon, or get one going in Portland, Vancouver. And Ray would come up after me, and I'd sit there and just watch him. Watch what he did, how he handled people. And boy, I was taking notes like crazy because I noticed that people always grew up. And they grew fast because he put things on them. And he was maybe a better listener than anything. I think he was an amazing listener to God and to people. And he'd get to know people. Then when that happened, he wanted to make sure that I could go in a total separate area and just have the faith that it was going to work. And it did.
Now, that's interesting. He didn't call and talk to you. He asked your wife how you were doing. And he got the right answer.
Yep.
No, he'd get the square answer.
Yep.
But he kept establishing.
And Carolee knew I was
doing
fine.
He kept his hand there until he kept his hand there pretty much until he was gone in this way.
He made 2 trips out there in that year and a half. Yeah.
I don't mean here. I mean he kept his hand there.
Oh, yeah.
So when people are just starting out in God, you have to keep your hand near them and establish them. And even when they get older, you have to reach out and keep contact with people so they know you.
Have you ever grown up under somebody like in a business, you know, like in your banking business? Isn't it interesting if you find somebody that's generous, that'll give you everything they have to train you, to build you up, to take their place as if you were going to go? The best trainers are the one that plans you to give you their place and they leave the business. They groom you to take their place. They're not selfish to hold it. And that's what Ray did. And so when I trained other engineers, I did the same thing because I knew it could only live in a place and work about 5 years. And Carolee and I were on the road again. So I would take certain people and I said, you want my job? Well, you're going to earn it. So they earned it. And I went out the door and the business where I was did not see a hitch in the giddy up. They saw that and they didn't miss me one bit. But I built some really neat friendships with folks. And that's pretty much the way Ray did it. He didn't selfishly keep anything to himself. I see people do that, but he gave us everything. He spent himself for us. And he did not expect us to talk or glorify his name. He just wanted to see this grow because he'd get his reward in the Lord.
Well, the way it says this is establishing all of the disciples.
Yep.
That sounds like a lot of care towards everybody, right?
Well, another interesting thing that we learned from him is he said, who's in charge? He didn't leave any one of us in charge. He used to teach us the person in charge is the one the Holy Spirit is moving on at that time and speaking through, wants to speak through, let's say you, Jesse. Well, you have the authority and I better listen to that. Or Brett or Andy, I have to listen to that. And so it's an ever-changing authority. Whoever the Spirit is moving on, you don't see Elijah only or Elisha only or Nahum or all the different prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, but you see different ones operating at the same time with different parts to this. Now, which is the greatest? I don't know. They're all
great.
Well,
that's interesting because in some of the books you'll read, oh, this person was here during the king of this and this and this and this. And you go, hey, whoa. What's his name around at that same time?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Yeah. You read it like that?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was just in recent years. I've noticed. I've been shown that. But you guys have seen that.
Yeah, we're...
You go, all these people living at the same time frame. Yeah. Because the kings are the kings, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it tells you exactly what reign they're ruling, and maybe they're a prophet in Israel, maybe they're a prophet in Judah.
That God is working through more than one person. That's the point. So
that's who's in charge, the Holy Spirit, and we have to listen to each other. Let's say the person has no supposed ministry. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to him, you have to listen to him. He's in charge. He's in authority at that moment. And that's the law of liberty, says that. This is not to be run by a man. It's run by the Lord. It's his kingdom, the kingdom of the heavens. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.